In some places, a cup of water is used. In other places, a fire hose is used. In other places, sometimes they use a spray bottle. Or sometimes a swimming pool is used. Or in other places, a tub. I've seen it where in some places a river is used, and in other places a lake is used. I've also seen a crystal vial being used. And even in some places they use a towel. In some places I've also seen a large body of salt water being used. And in other places a hot tub. And also I've seen a shower being used. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the process of baptism. I've seen baptisms conducted with a fire hose. Whole group of people is sprayed. I've seen Catholic baptisms where a little crystal vial is used. Some places they dip you in a lake or in a saltwater body or in a river. I've seen it where they've used a hot tub or maybe a bowl, sprinkling it on your forehead. So this brings up a question. How should you be baptized? Should you be baptized by sprinkling, fire hoses, tubs, cups, or immersion? Today in this message, we're going to answer that question, and it is very easy to answer if you understand what the word for baptize means, the Greek word for baptism. So today we're going to look at the biblical definition of the word baptism. Where does that word come from? And when you understand where it comes from, you'll be able to know whether we should use a cup or a tub. Now, I like the example. Many years ago, there was a movie called Jesus of Nazareth. I think it was 1977. It wasn't the greatest story ever told, but it was one sort of like that. I don't like to watch biblical movies because they're never correct. I'm watching the Ten Commandments every once in a while, and my wife says, just be quiet and watch the movie. So, this movie, Jesus of Nazareth, they understand in this movie that Catholics believe in sprinkling, and sometimes they believe in immersion, but they also allow sprinkling. And they also believe that most Protestants, although a few believe in sprinkling, most of them believe in immersion. So how are we going to satisfy both the Catholic viewpoint and the Protestant viewpoint in this movie? Well, what they did is they showed Jesus Christ kneeling in a pool of water. Now, that kind of satisfies those that believe in immersion. And then John the Baptist got a cup and poured water on his head. That satisfies those who believe in sprinkling or you know, just a cup of water. So they tried to satisfy both viewpoints, and as a result, they didn't do what was correct. Now, we're not interested in what the movie producers say about baptism. We're interested in what the Bible or the Word of God says about baptism. So with that little introduction, let's consider some things about the word baptism. The Greek word from which baptism is translated. We'll talk about that in a minute, but look at Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we have verse 38. This is the Pentecost day, and they're in the temple. And Christ says for them to tarry there until the gift that's given to you, which I spoke to you on the day of Passover, is given. So here we have Jesus telling them about the Passover and what was promised on them in that day, and about go to Pentecost and wait for the promise. I mean, how much more evidence do you need that Jesus Christ was keeping the holy days? So he tells them on the Passover, go to Jerusalem, tarry there, wait till the gift is given to you, which is the Holy Spirit. That happens in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, on the day of Pentecost. As it says, when Pentecost had come and they were all in one place waiting, then this result happens. And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit appeared on them, flames like fire above their heads. But notice Acts chapter 2, later on, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The word baptism there, and the word baptism used almost every other place in the New Testament, comes from the Greek word baptizo. It's spelled just like it sounds, B-A-P-T-I-Z-O. And what they did is they took the Greek word baptizo and they just anglicized it and made it baptism, sort of like truck and troca in Spanish. They just, changed the language by just pronouncing it differently. So the Greek word for baptism here and many other places comes from the Greek word for baptizo. The Greek word for baptizo comes from another Greek word. It's a derivative of that, and it's the word bapto, B-A-P-T-O. So the word bapto is a verb. If you look in the online dictionary, I'm looking here at the online English dictionary, Oxford, which is online. You can get a lot of words from there. It says let me give you the definition later, but the word bapto, B-A-T-O, is a verb, and it's translated in most of your Greek dictionaries as a verb which means to whelm. Whelm, W-H-E-L-M, is an old English word, written in the 1600s, King James Version. And you've heard of overwhelm? The word whelm means to completely cover in fluid, to immerse, to dip. It does not mean to sprinkle. It means to completely submerge underwater. That's what the word bapto means. Now, if you look in the Oxford Language Online Dictionary, and you look up the word whelm, old English word, it means to engulf, to submerge, to bury. It even gives an example sentence. A swimmer whelmed in a raging storm. So the sense of the word whelm is exactly like the word overwhelm, which means you get completely inundated in a liquid. You are overwhelmed. It does not have anything to do with sprinkling, with spraying, with a shower. It means to get completely submerged underwater. So the first hint we have about whether it should be submersion or sprinkling is from the definition of the Greek word, which means to simply bury or to overwhelm in fluid or in liquid. Second reason we understand that the New Testament word for baptism means immersion is because whenever a baptism takes place, and you can look at the context, not always, but when you can, there's always the indication that there's lots of water around. All right, let's go to John chapter 2. So the second point is a New Testament baptism requires immersion, which means there's got to be lots of water. Because if you didn't have to be immersed, I could baptize you right now with this glass of water right here. But I can't do that biblically. Notice John chapter 3, verse 23. John chapter 3, verse 23. Now, you remember John the Baptist. John the Baptist was going to be the one that comes before Christ. He was going to prepare the way for Christ. He sees Christ coming and he says, "Behold the Passover lamb." He didn't say, "Behold the Easter bunny." He said, "Behold the Passover lamb that takes away the sins of the world." And he came and he was baptizing by the River Jordan. Notice he wasn't baptizing in his backyard with a bucket. He was baptizing in the River Jordan. And notice what it says in verse 23. Now John also was baptizing, same word, bapto or baptizo, in Anion near Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. If you've got a little marginal or center column reference, it says because there was many waters. Why was he baptizing there in that area, Jordan River? Because there's lots of water. If you didn't need lots of water, John wouldn't have to be at the River Jordan. He could have been baptizing you in the patio of the temple. So he was there because lots of water was needed. Why? Because the word baptizo means to immerse or to cover or to overwhelm. Does not mean to sprinkle. You remember the story about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? And he's talking, I think he's reading the book of Isaiah, and Philip joins him in the chariot. He says, "What are you reading?" I said, "I'm reading here out of the Old Testament." Notice Philip didn't tell him, "Don't worry about it. The Old Testament's getting ready to be done away with, my friend. Let me give you the New Testament teaching." No, he said, "Well, what's your question about this book?" He says, "Well, is this passage, is he saying this about himself? Or is he saying this about somebody that's supposed to come? Can you explain it to me?" And he explains it to him. He talks to him about Jesus Christ and about faith in Christ and about the remission of sins, probably for several hours. And the eunuch says, "Look, here's a river. There's water here. Can you baptize me?" Notice he didn't say, "I've got a jug here. You can baptize me in the chariot." And then there's another example. You don't have to turn the scripture there, but where Jesus Christ is baptized by John the Baptist, it says he comes up out of the water. You know, he'd been under the water, and then he comes up out of the water. And then the voice that's heard says, "Behold my son in whom I am well pleased." So once again, Jesus was baptized in lots of water. The eunuch says, "Stop here, there's lots of water." John the Baptist was baptizing in the Jordan River where there was lots of water. So those two points there indicate that we're looking at immersion. You know, you're not going to use a cup. You're not going to use a fire hose. You can use a tub. You can use a swimming pool. You can use a lake. But you can't use a little crystal vial like was done to me when I was a good Catholic on my forehead. Point number three, baptism symbolizes something very important. Baptism is a symbol of something. Notice in Romans chapter 6, we're going to begin to read in Romans chapter 6, the first verse. What does baptism symbolize? Notice in verse 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And the word for sin is lawlessness, breaking the commandments. So should we continue breaking the commandments that we can be under grace, like a lot of Protestants tell you? He says, "Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin," you know, the breaking of the commandments, "live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of you as were baptized, immersed, overwhelmed, buried in, therefore we," excuse me, "or do you not know," in verse 3, "that as many of, as of," excuse me, let me start again, "or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death?" What do you do? What happens to you when you die? They bury you. "Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism." So what does baptism picture? Baptism pictures dying. You die as the old man when you're placed underwater, and you rise up as a new man or a new woman. I've been to lots of baptisms, and sometimes I was told by the minister, "Make sure the legs don't come up. Because if the legs come up, we have to dip them again, because it symbolizes burial." How many times have you been to a cemetery and seen a foot sticking up out of the ground? That doesn't happen. Because a burial implies that you're going to be covered over with dirt. After you come up in the resurrection, you're risen as a new man. So what does baptism picture? It pictures being buried. Let me read it to you again, starting in verse 4. Let me start in verse 3. "Or do you not know that as many of as you as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." You come up out of the baptismal waters, the old man is dead, you should be living a new life. "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death," how are we united together in some kind of analogy of death? Because you've been baptized. Verse 5 again. "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." So we are buried in baptism, symbolizing dying. we come up out of the water, symbolizing that we're waiting for Christ to give us a resurrection and have eternal life. If baptism symbolizes being buried in death, which it does, then it requires that we are fully buried in water, just as we are fully covered in the grave. So baptism symbolizes being buried. And you are not buried by a little, you know, they don't put your body on the ground and sprinkle a little dirt on you. You know, they don't put you on the ground and spray dirt over you. They put you in a 6-foot hole and cover you with dirt because you're dead. So what does baptism mean? We have seen that the word for baptism means to immerse or to overwhelm with water. We have seen that all New Testament baptisms involve lots of water and involve immersion. We have also seen that baptism symbolizes death and burial. Because of all of these examples, biblical baptism involves full immersion to be biblically correct.